Today is Wednesday, April 11th, the year 2001. We're in East Lansing, Michigan. I'm Jeff Charnley, interviewing Professor Arthur F. Brandstatter for the MSU Oral History Project for the sesquicentennial. It's coming up in 4 years, in the year 2005. Professor Brandstatter, you can see we have a tape recorder here, and you give us permission to tape you?
Right, I do.
Okay. I'd like to start first with some questions about your general educational and personal background. Where were you born and educated at high school?
Well, I was born in McKees Rocks, Pennsylvania. And my folks moved to Michigan when I was about 2 years old. So I don't remember much about McKees Rocks. And we lived in Ecorse. We moved to Ecorse. My dad worked for the boat building firm in River Rouge, Michigan, which is an adjacent community to Ecorse. And I went to Ecorse High School and graduated from the Ecorse High School.
What year did you graduate?
1933. That's a long time ago.
So during the Depression.
Right.
What was your interest in? Did you work any work outside the home or work?
Yes, I did. I knew I was going to school. I've had offers. I was an athlete, and one of the local coaches recommended to people who were inquiring about athletics if they should recruit me because I'm a pretty good athlete. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's what happened, and I finished Michigan's at Ecorse High School. And knew I was going on to college somewhere, and I decided on Michigan State. It'll be interesting, I think, for some people at least to know that I was recruited by John Hanna and John Coates, who was the baseball coach at the time. Mm-hmm. Both of them showed up at my home, and my dad at that time was in a neighborhood grocery and meat market, and that's the business we were in for most of my youth, and they showed up there and talked to me, and I was impressed with what they had to say. And John Hanna was not secretary or president, obviously, in those days, mm-hmm. but he was in the Poultry Extension Service, agriculture. Mm-hmm. And I had no idea, of course, that he'd ultimately end up president of the university, but he did, and it turned out to be a very good contact for me.
An early one. Yeah. Did you play all sports in high school?
In high school, I played football and basketball and baseball and a little bit of track. Mm-hmm. I was always active in athletics.
So you were recruited for baseball?
No.
For football?
Football,
Had you been to campus before their arrival on your doorstep?
What?
Had you been to campus?
No. Oh. No, I had not. Mm-hmm. No, I had not. University of Detroit was making a valiant effort to get me to go there, but I hadn't visited any campus at that time. Mm-hmm. So I listened to what they had to say and made a decision later. Mm-hmm. Ended up working at the Great Lakes Steel Mill, earned some money. And then that following fall, I enrolled here at Michigan State.
Do you remember anything about the campus when you first arrived? Any early impressions?
Well, it was relatively small, and very friendly, I thought, at that time. And I guess that's one of the things that interested me. At the time, I met the coaches. Charles Bachman was the head coach, and Tom King was the end coach, and the backfield coach was a fellow named Miles Castile. And they were all very cordial and friendly, and that's what I remember most about the place. Mm-hmm. But there was no difficulty, really, in visiting with people, and they were willing to do whatever you wanted, might be interested in showing you around. That sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. What positions did you play in football?
I played fullback. Mm-hmm. And that's what I played here. Mm-hmm. Ended up getting All-American honors, I might add.
Mm-hmm. how many years, or was it just?
I played 3 years.
3 years.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
For the 1934, 35, and 36.
So those years, your overlap, you would have played President Ford?
Was he earlier? Yeah, 1 year.
1 year.
We overlapped 1 year.
1 year, 34 probably.
Ann Arbor, University of Michigan. Mm-hmm.
What did you study as an undergraduate?
Well, when I came here, I wanted to be in education. I was going to be a teacher. Mm-hmm. And during the course of my stay here in Michigan State, I think it was my sophomore year, I was asked to go to the state police barracks. You know, they were right across the street from the campus. Mm-hmm. And somebody arranged for me to have a room over there. So I got room and board at state police headquarters building and their facilities. And that's what happened.
It wasn't far from the stadium then either.
No.
Or practice fields.
Not far at all. And I worked over there. I cleaned the rooms of the detectives who lived in part of the building, including the commissioner's office, which worked out in my favor over the years. He was a good man to know, and he was very friendly and very kind to me.
Mm-hmm. Who was that?
Commissioner Oscar G. Olander.
Okay.
And he was a good friend of the university people, mm-hmm. particularly John Hanna and others.
Mm-hmm. So you started emptying waste baskets at the state police?
Absolutely. Right.
Done like from the bottom up, that's for sure.
They paid us, I think it was either 25 cents or 50 cents for a room.
A room. Well, so that was your introduction to police work, or was there...
Well, that's the result of being over there. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I was close to the police activity. Uh-huh. And once in a while, we went out with the state police patrol cars. There was another fellow with me, Ed Jones, who was also interested in the police ad program. And we knew it was here, but I didn't get interested in pursuing my interest in the police ad program until I ended up getting some experience with the troopers in this. State police. Mm-hmm. And once in a while, as I said, they would ask us to ride with them, and we'd go out with them, and they'd do whatever they had to do, and we'd observe and watch, and I got very much interested in law enforcement. Mm-hmm. And I ended up transferring from the education program to the school, what was then called the School of Police Administration. And I've been in that work all my life.
When you graduated in, what year was it, 1930? When you graduated from college?
Yeah, 1938.
Okay.
Incidentally, it was a 5-year course at that time.
5-year?
The university had a, what they call a year and a half, 18 months field service training program.
Okay. That was an internship?
Title. Pardon?
It was like an internship?
Yes, that's mm-hmm. exactly what it was, mm-hmm. an internship. Mm-hmm. We were sent out to the state police and local police, spent 6 months with the Detroit Police Department, mm-hmm. working in various bureaus in the Detroit Department. It was a great experience, and I think it's too bad it had to be eliminated. Ultimately, it just cost too much. Mm-hmm. At that time, we were supposed to get $1 a day. Well, you never got it.
Well, after graduation, where did you go to work?
Well, you might recall I was with the Detroit Police Department shortly before we graduated, and I was asked to come back and join the department. And those were days when there weren't many jobs around, obviously. And so I took the opportunity and joined the Detroit Police Department. And in order to do that, be accepted by them, I had to be a resident of the city. Mm-hmm. And I established residence at the YMCA. In downtown Detroit, and went to the training academy from there, and graduated from that academy, and then was assigned to a precinct as a patrolman. I was called the college cop.
College cop, because you had a degree?
Yeah, I had a degree in police administration. Mm-hmm.
Your classmates at the academy, what were their backgrounds varied, or they hadn't gone to school?
Pretty varied. In those days, it was primarily high school graduates. Mm-hmm. They had a few college graduates. I was one of them, mm-hmm. who were interested in good-paying jobs and that represented some income for them. Mm-hmm. We started out at $2,000 a year, I might add. Mm-hmm.
Were you married at that time? Where'd that come? I didn't mean it to be like a quiz.
Yeah.
It came later. How long did you work at the Detroit department?
About 3 years. I earned a commission, obviously, going through the ROTC program here. Mm-hmm. And I was a second lieutenant. And I was ordered to active duty about 9 or 10 months before the war broke out.
Oh, really?
And I was, of course, a member of the police department. And I had opportunities to go to General Motors in their security program, but when they found out I was an officer in a reserve, they weren't interested in me because they knew I would be called to active duty. They had apparently some knowledge about the university or the Detroit Police Department and reserve officers being called to active duty, mm-hmm. and I was ultimately called to active duty, mm-hmm. and I think it was February 1933, if I recall correctly, somewhere in that.
It was in 41?
Pardon?
In 41? February 41?
Yeah, February 41.
Before Pearl Harbor.
Pearl Harbor occurred. Mm-hmm.
And Europe was ongoing. Yeah. Yeah.
And I was ordered to active duty to the Army Air Corps was one agency in those days. Mm-hmm. And they subsequently separated, but I was ordered to act duty at Scott Air Force Base. And I couldn't understand that because my training at Michigan State had all been in cavalry and armor.
Mm-hmm. And like the Army.
Yeah. And, of course, my wife was concerned, and we were married at that time, shortly after, and joined the Detroit Police Department. So anyway, I went on act duty, and I told my wife I'd probably be transferred again because I couldn't imagine why they'd assigned me to an Air Force facility. Mm-hmm. But it turned out that I stayed there for quite a while.
Did you serve overseas?
I ultimately was sent overseas and became part of the occupation forces in Korea.
Korea. Oh.
Yeah.
But most of the war you were stateside?
Most of the war I was stateside, right.
But you didn't serve in the military police during that time? No.
I was in the armor unit.
In the Army. Oh, armor. Okay. Yep.
And I was supposed to go to Japan. Matter of fact, I had an assignment to Osaka, where I would be involved with the other military government officers in establishing police service and other necessary activities in the city. And when I got to MacArthur's headquarters, I was reassigned to Korea. And I'd never heard of Korea. Never studied Korea. Mm-hmm. And or knew anything about them. So I was assigned to Okinawa for a while with a team that was preparing to move into Korea and establish government and provide services that were required in those days. Mm-hmm. And I had to reestablish and reorganize the entire police force with another fellow, and we worked under the authority of a full colonel who drove me up a wall. I ended up, I never smoked, and I ended up smoking two packs a day. I'll never forget him, Reamer W. Argo.
Reamer
W.
He was a full bird
colonel.
He was
a very difficult person. Hmm. But anyway, we did what we had to, and I stayed there for several months until I got word through my wife that the university and this East Lansing were looking for a new police chief. And the commissioner of the state police, I found out later, had recommended that they find that kid named Brandstetter and hire him.
So you were in Korea at the time?
I was in Korea.
Korea.
Yeah, and I applied for leave to go back home, and it was denied because I was in a, what they call a specialist category.